Lord Jesus, remind us anew and afresh today and this week that even though we weren't there in you, we were there. As your word in Romans tells us, that we have been baptized into Christ, we have been buried with you so that we might also rise with you. So give us new eyes to see, new ears to hear, new hearts to believe in what you have done for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. One question for you this morning, and that is this. What is your king like? What is your king like? You see, I think I know what a king looks like. I've been to places like the Tower of London. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. I found out this week it's officially called Her Majesty's Royal Palace and Fortress of the Tower of London, but that's a little too long for a sign and for a postcard. On the banks of the River Thames in central London, it's been in use for over 1,000 years. All the Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn stuff, happened there. It has multiple surrounding, imposing, protective stone walls. Many residents inside. It's really a village or a city unto itself. And then in the center is the picturesque, if you've seen pictures, that's probably what you're thinking of, White Tower, where deep inside you can go in and view the crown jewels of the United Kingdom, only for a moment. Besides all the stern no photography signs enforced like the British would enforce something, in order to view the crown jewels, you get on this moving walkway that allows you to view them just for, you know, 1, 2, 3 seconds, and then you're past. And very tight security all around. I know what a king looks like. Back in 2010, 6 years ago, when President Obama visited India, for count them three, 1, 2, 3 days, his entourage was unbelievable. Now, due to heightened security concerns at that time, the normally huge presidential security operation became enormous. More than 6 planes, 30 cars, marine helicopters, hundreds of Secret Service personnel, thousands, some say even 10,000 of local ground security. And of course, Air Force One costs over $180,000 an hour to operate. So thousands, tens of thousands of people, and millions upon millions of dollars to safely transport one man. Now, I realize in America we don't call our presidents kings, but if you've seen any one of them travel, I know what a king looks like. And then there's Jesus, whose royal motorcade is one simple, lonely, borrowed, young donkey. Some king. Some procession. He could have at least scrounged a horse to ride a little higher, look a little more regal, a little more noble, a little more powerful. What is your king like? If Jesus were an average-sized adult in his day, riding a donkey, I would think would have to look, especially as a young one in Luke, I would think that would look a little silly. Donkeys aren't very tall. And I started to think it might look like me trying to climb on good old Sandy, the penny pony at Meijer, and try to go for a ride. It probably would look that bad. I wonder, did Jesus have to hold up his feet so that his toes wouldn't scrape the ground, dragging people's coats and palm branches? And the crowds and the disciples, they're cheering and they're shouting, Hosanna, which means save us. But they want to be saved from the Roman tyranny. Kick out the Romans. We'll be your army. You be our king. But all this looks a bit silly, and you could even say it looks a little desperate, because that's not what kings look like. And for us, where we are in America, we're in a political season, and I think every political season we're offered a king or queen. people that promise the world. They go through counties and cities and towns and states all over our country to promise to fix all of your problems. Make everything wrong with our country, with the world, with your lives, make it right again just with one simple vote. We are told big promises, but often it seems like all we're delivered is big egos and boring TV commercials. But I think if nothing else, political seasons should show Christians where our real hope should be. And fine with me if it takes somebody the likes of Donald Trump to show Christians where to put your real faith and hope, not in any earthly ruler, but in Jesus. What is your king like? We're tempted to make many people in our lives kings, or put them in that spot only made for Jesus. But if it's not people, it's many other things. How often have you just thought, man, if I just had that one more thing, everything would be better. My life would be at peace if I just had whatever that is for you. Whether it's a different job or more money or that relationship or that house or however you would fill in that blank, that one thing you just think you can't live without, or that one thing that would make everything all better. We can make a lot of kings in our hearts. But what is your king like? You see, Jesus is the king who rides a donkey. Don't forget that. If he rode a horse, he would look better. He would look powerful. He would look regal. He would look noble. But he would also be riding, if he was to ride a horse down our aisle today, he would be a little higher than you, and he would look down into your eyes. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus rides on a donkey. He doesn't look down at people. He doesn't come down our aisle and look down at you, but he comes right at eye level and looks at you. Jesus comes down to eye level and looks into your eyes, and he sees you today. Whatever it is that you have carried on in these doors with you, Jesus looks in your eyes and sees that. Whatever pain you are carrying, whatever deaths you are carrying, whatever hurts you are carrying, whatever regrets and failures and sins you are carrying, Jesus comes down to eye level and looks into your eyes. And he loves you. And if you were to look back into Jesus' eyes, what might you see? Maybe sadness, heavy eyes, eyes that were very present in the moment, but clearly thinking about what may come this week. King Jesus comes down to your level and looks you in the eye, because your king gathers your pain and carries your sorrows and takes on your sin, because he's a king unlike any other out there. You see, riding on a donkey doesn't look very good or royal or noble or kingly, but neither does being born in a stable. Neither does wearing a crown of thorns. Neither does being betrayed by your closest friends. Neither does being stripped and beaten and sentenced to death by the very people you came to save. Neither does hanging, dying, a criminal's execution. But also neither does forgiving your enemies while they're killing you, and forgiving the ones next to you who are making fun of you. He's not just any king. But the story doesn't end. That's why we come back next week, because not just any king has a stone that's rolled away and a tomb that's empty. Most kings have tombs, and people go and they venerate and say, here's where they lie. We say, here's where he doesn't lie next Sunday. With folded white burial cloths and speaking angels and hope beyond anything that this world can give you. What is your king like? I dare you to find out this week. Amen.